In those days, it was common for people to read out loud, partly because the manuscripts were kind of hard to read sometimes, and they kind of had to sound the words out because they weren't used to reading them, and we believe he had a Greek version of this text of Isaiah. And so he was reading aloud, partly in worship, partly just for phonetics to try to figure out what this thing was saying. And Philip approached him like the Spirit told him to do. And that's where we're going to pick up the story in Acts chapter 8, verse 32. We get to see, it's amazing to me, this happened 2,000 years ago, South Winds, and we get to hear and see the passage that this Ethiopian man was reading in his chariot on his way back home from worshiping in Jerusalem. See, he apparently had been converted in what they call a Gentile. There was Jews, and then there was everybody else, the Gentiles. And he had seen the truth in the Jewish faith, and he had converted to Judaism. He had been up to Jerusalem to worship. He was on his way back home. Philip approaches, and we get to see exactly what he was reading out loud. Verse 32. Now the scripture passage he was reading was this. He was led like a sheep to slaughter. And as a lamb is silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will describe his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. The eunuch replied to Philip, I ask you, who is the prophet saying this about, himself or another person? So Philip proceeded to tell him the good news about Jesus, beginning from that scripture. And as they were traveling down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's water. What would keep me from being baptized? And Philip said, well, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then he ordered the chariot to stop, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him any longer. But he went on his way rejoicing. Philip appeared in Azotus, and passing through, he was evangelizing all the towns until he came to Caesarea. So Philip approaches this chariot, and it takes some confidence to know that, okay, God, you really told me to do this. Because he's approaching a random chariot full of people that he doesn't know, with people in it that he doesn't know. Somebody who's reading the Bible out loud, by the way, what we would call the Old Testament, what they just called the Bible back then, a book of the Bible. He's reading from the writings of a prophet, Isaiah, and what we would call specifically in Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. He approaches this chariot, doesn't know this guy from anyone in the world. And he goes up to him, and he hears him, and he says, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian man says, no, and how can I without a guide? And it says he invited Philip to sit with him. And Philip figured out what he was reading. In Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, what we would call Isaiah 53, verse 7 and 8, and he read out loud, he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will describe his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And then we have that question from the Ethiopian man, right? Okay, who's the prophet talking about? Is he talking about himself or someone else? What an opportunity for Philip. Philip is not, this account is not long removed from the actual days where Jesus was put on the cross, crucified. He died. He breathed his last breath. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. He said, it is finished. He was taken off the cross, put in a tomb, and God raised him from the dead the third day. And Christ has since had walked around, appeared to hundreds of people, and then gone back to be with the Father in heaven. Philip was not long removed from this. So, do you think that Philip had an idea in his mind what to start talking with this Ethiopian man about? When he read, he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before its shearer. Who does that sound like? Sounds a little bit like Jesus to me. He does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Jesus was crucified when he didn't deserve it. It was humiliating to die a criminal's death. But Jesus did it anyway. This sounds an awful lot like Jesus. And so Philip used this as a springboard because, you see, the Ethiopian man, he didn't have a copy of what we would call the New Testament with the Gospels and the story of Jesus and the letters written to other churches to help them know how to go and to help them know how to live lives that were pleasing to God, how to be his church. They didn't have that. He was a privileged one to have even a copy of the book of Isaiah. But Philip used the passage that this man was reading to springboard into, let me tell you about this guy named Jesus. This is who the prophet is talking about. He led a sinless life. He performed miracles. He taught with power that no one else had ever known, no one else had ever heard. He was the Son of God, in fact, and he died for your sin. He died for my sin. He was humiliated on the cross. His life is taken from the earth. It doesn't tell us exactly what Philip said, but you can just imagine Philip using that as a springboard to tell him about Jesus and everything that Jesus can do for each of us. See, Philip started right where his hearer was. Let me say that one more time. Philip started right where his hearer, right where his audience was. See, let me maybe illustrate that better with the present day example. There's a church here in Calgary. It's called Truth Church, and they have a youth ministry, and it's called Roots. Okay? And it's a church mainly for Chinese immigrants, and the Truth portion of the church is a Mandarin-speaking service. And then Roots is actually the youth service, and most of those guys know English, and so it's an English-speaking service. But you know, as they're reaching out to immigrants from China, those immigrants, a lot of them are coming from an atheist background. They're coming from a culture that says, you know, God doesn't exist, there's no need for him. And that's what they've grown up with, and they've not really grown up, for most of them, really thinking about God. And so Paul Johnson, who is one of the leaders of Roots, he says, you know, we don't normally just start with Jesus with these guys. We start with where they are, and they're coming from, they've never really thought about God, they've never had a context really for him, they've always been told that he doesn't really exist. And so we start with God. We start with asking them questions to get them thinking, does God really exist? You see, Philip began exactly where his audience was, exactly where the hearer was. And the hearer was in the midst of this text in Isaiah, not really understanding what it meant, but he was a God follower. He was a Jew that it says Philip must have come to find out. So he knew he had faith in God. He knew about the law. But Philip needed to start right where he was. And I think that's a great lesson for us. Is that when we encounter people in our world and people in our workplace, people in our community, wherever we encounter people, if God gives us an opportunity to share with them, that we need to ask him for the wisdom to begin right where they are. And you know what that usually needs? That usually requires a relationship. Now, Philip didn't know the Ethiopian man very long. He was on a direct assignment from God, and God gave him a clear opportunity right there, right away. But obviously, he had to have gotten to know something about this man for Luke to be able to include in the story that this man, he had been to Jerusalem to worship. He was on his way home. Philip didn't know that. He had to find it out. But it requires relationship. Now, we may be given opportunities to share the hope of Jesus with people that we have zero relationship with. Don't let me sell us short to say that that doesn't happen. It does happen, and it will happen. But you know, oftentimes it takes relationship to know where people are coming from. That we'll often, we may at least have an idea of, you know what, I don't know that I can talk to them about Jesus until I talk to him about the fact that there is a God, much less that he has a son that he sent to save the world from sin, right? That we need to, Philip started right where his audience was, and we need to do the same. Start right where our audience is. And take a book and take a note out of Paul Johnson's book with the Roots Ministry, that we need to start, whether it start with questions of God or start with questions of, well, you know, Do you have any experience with church? And you know, you'd be maybe surprised at what kind of avenues that very question opens up. Do you have any experience with church? And a lot of times, maybe people did, something happened, and now church no more. But building trust with people, gaining relationship with people. All right, I'm getting to celebrate together. Okay, getting there. All right. So the Ethiopian man asks Philip, is he talking about himself? Is he talking about somebody else? Philip jumps to Jesus. He says, I can tell you exactly who he's talking about. Verse 36, as they were traveling down the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, look, there's water. What would keep me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, then you may. He replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, in the context of what Philip told him, from jumping from Isaiah 53 to Philip sharing with him about Jesus, obviously he told him that, you know, Jesus is the one and only way to a right relationship with God. And then when we trust in that, when we believe that, and we know it within our heart, then a step of physical obedience after we have trusted him is to follow him in baptism. Jesus was baptized as an example for us. He told us in the Great Commission, what we call the Great Commission, he told us, he told the disciples, he told all of us as followers of Jesus to baptize people in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus did it. He told us to do it. We have examples of others that are doing it after they come to faith in Jesus. Obviously, he told them something about it, and so there happened to be rolling along in this chariot, bumping along in his chariot, he sees some water and he says, what would stop me? And Philip just makes sure, he says, I just need to know that you understand that first there's got to be belief in your heart. And then we follow. And the Ethiopian man said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. What would keep me from getting baptized? And so they got out and he baptized him. Baptism follows faith. Because it is a picture of what has already happened in the life of a follower of Jesus. It's a picture, okay? It's an illustration. The act of baptism doesn't mean that somebody has just now come to know Jesus, okay? In fact, for different people, there may be, from the time you come to know Jesus, it may be a week, it may be months, it may be a year, it may be years, until we follow him in believer, what we would call believer's baptism, those that believe Jesus and what he's done. And they say, you know, now it's time. It's time for me to make that decision. But faith comes first, and then baptism follows. You see, because what happened there? When Philip and that Ethiopian man got out of that chariot and they went down to the water, and you can just imagine them wading into the water until it was just above waist deep. And Philip's already asked him, okay, who do you believe in? I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When Philip baptized him, it was a beautiful picture that we're going to see in just a couple of minutes here. That when he put that Ethiopian man under the water, it was a picture of him identifying with the burial of Jesus. That the old man had passed away. But the good news is they didn't keep him under that water, right? That'd be awkward. The story would be a little different. When he brought him back up out of that water. Yeah, just be good. When he brought him up out of that water, what did that represent? Being risen in newness of life. That the old life is gone, and now we live as a new creation. But it's a picture, right? It's only a picture. God solidified that in that Ethiopian man's heart, even though it was minutes apart. He solidified that in his heart, in that chariot. That's when it happened. That's when that newness of life began. That's when God's Holy Spirit began to live inside of this Ethiopian man. And that baptism was just a picture of it. Now, baptism follows faith. He confirmed that there was faith in his heart. And then in obedience, he followed in baptism. And then we go on. And this is where it just, you know, as if this wasn't a really incredible, cool story already. I mean, it's something worth celebrating. It goes on. It says, when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him any longer. Okay? And if you just read this quickly, you just kind of read over that sentence, right? says, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. I don't know what that looked like, but man, would I love to imagine it, right? Like, literally, if he carried him away, like, I don't know, did he physically pick him up and he just sort of flew away? Or no, I think it was an absolute supernatural event. That the one true living God, the God that is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, that he calls Philip, he took him exactly where he wanted him. He says nobody saw him until somebody saw him in Azotus, and then he went on preaching from village to village from there until he got to Caesarea, where he settled down. Do you know the next time we see Philip in the narrative of the story of the book of Acts is like 20 years later? It's 20 years later. But you know what's the coolest part to me? Amazing that God did that. But I love that we have no indication that it bothered the eunuch in the least. It says, and the eunuch did not see him any longer, but he went on his way rejoicing. Right? If somebody baptizes me, and man, like, I'm just, you're coming up out of the water, you're ready to high five, you know, and like, man, this just happened. And then the dude is just gone. A little weird. But it says it didn't bother him at all. It doesn't say that, but we don't get any indication that it bothered him at all. It says he just went on his way rejoicing. And you know, I got a feeling, I think it's more than just a feeling, that rejoicing he was doing was because of what we call the fruit of the Spirit. Out of Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love and joy. Peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. But he had that joy that can only come from the one true living God. He had it. There was no denying it. People could be lifted up and gone wherever they need to go. He had the joy of the Father. He had the joy of Jesus in him. And he was going to go rejoicing all the way home. And I can only imagine telling the people of the house of Candace about what had happened to him. It didn't seem to bother this Ethiopian man at all. He was filled with the Spirit, namely the joy of the Spirit from Galatians 5:22. And again, Philip continues to preach until he reaches Caesarea, and we don't hear about Philip again. We don't read about Philip again until 20 years later. But he was faithful. And so when I say celebrate together, that as church family, we are meant to celebrate with each other. And truly, baptism is a cause for celebration for the follower of Jesus. Because if you're here today, you celebrate maybe because you've been there and you remember what it was like. You remember making public your decision to follow Jesus and sharing with anyone that wanted to know, I am a follower of Christ and I'm following him in baptism and I want the world to know. You remember that, and it's a reaffirmation of the decision that you made. Maybe you're here today and you want to rejoice because somebody, they had the courage to go ahead and make that decision. Maybe you need to make that decision. Maybe you say, you know what, I do. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but I haven't been able to make that decision yet. I haven't had the courage to do that yet. Maybe today's the day that you make that decision. A few questions. Do we share Jesus with others by beginning where he or she is? Like Philip did. He started right where that Ethiopian was, and he took him to the truth he needed to have. Do we share Jesus with others by beginning right where he or she is? Do I take the time and relationship to try and understand where people are in relationship to God? If I'm going to answer that first question with yes, then I've got to answer the second question with, you know, I do need to take the time. Do I take the time in relationship to try and understand where people are in relationship to God? Am I looking for where people are in relationship to God? Maybe even better question. Last question I want to ask today is, as we get ready to sing and respond, maybe you need to ask yourself the question, maybe you need to ask God the question, God, do I need to follow in believer's baptism? Do I need to follow the example we see with Philip and the Ethiopian man? Say, I believe you. I believe you're the Son of God and that you're the ruler and king of my heart. Now I just need to follow and do what you said to do. I don't know. But if you're here today, I would say, please let God speak to your heart.